And it is time for our monthly conversation with Representative Doug Blux, who joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. How are you doing? All right, here, let's try this. There we go. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, just fine. Thank you.
Hey, good to have you on here. So it's been a little bit of a taste of winter weather here, and but you know, we just kind of before that and during part of it, we had some really beneficial rain, and I know we'll talk a little bit more water stuff here in a little bit, but I mean, that was definitely great to see.
Yeah, the cool weather was really quite a change there. Had a few days. I actually went bow hunting in northwest Missouri and had a couple very cold nights, more than I wanted in a tent, but we had fun camping and back now.
Hey, very good. Well, it is, of course, the first of the month, so we have some revenue projection information released, and you said actually that there is a bit of a change in this latest report.
Yes, there is. We've had nearly almost 30 months of where we've shown revenue was exceeded expectations, and we had a slight drop in September, but October was about 4.1% below what was expected, and it was actually about 7.4% lower than October of 2022 a year ago. So individual income taxes were down about 14%. Almost 15%. Secretary of Revenue kind of blamed it on an unusual number of tax refunds, more than $50 million from the same time in October of 22. And, of course, sales tax and compensating use tax is also down. So that's kind of maybe a disturbing trend. A lot of the economists are predicting that, you know, getting into some real maybe tough down times, maybe seeing the start of it. We've had good revenue for the past little bit longer than a couple years. So we'll just have to continue to monitor that. The November report is actually, that budget estimate is actually what the governor and the legislature will use for its projecting, setting the new budget parameters for this coming session in January. So that's a pretty important time. November and April are two critical times for that revenue predictions to kind of set the stage for the next year or the end of the year spend down, whether we need to cut back or not.
Gotcha. And I know that, appreciate you keeping track on all of that, and so we'll kind of see where it goes from there. But switching gears just a little bit here, I know you've been at some of these recent water meetings, and there has been some kind of deadlines coming up as far as those water grants go. So can you give us the latest on that?
Well, I'm also a member of the Verdigris Regional Advisory Committee, and we had a meeting in Parsons last Monday and had a real good discussion about water issues. And of course, obviously, the city of Caney is the spotlight for the entire state of Kansas on critical water issues. So a lot of discussion on that. Caney water system is actually not in the Verdigris Basin. It's in a separate small basin on the Caney River system. But if the project goes through with Coffeyville, then Caney will become another straw out of the Verdigris systems for water down the road. But I am excited about the technical assistance planning. The Senate substitute for House Bill 2302, which I was honored to introduce in the Water Committee and actually carried on the House floor. The governor got a lot of credit for signing it, bless her heart, and I thank her for that, because we now have that program ready for cities and groups to be able to apply for funding. So December, I think, 29th is a deadline, and we have two funds. One is a technical assistance fund, and basically a lot of small cities and communities do not have the staff. And that's going to amount to about $5 million per year. So to apply for a grant, to apply for technical assistance, and there'd be $1 million limit on that grant. There'll be a lot of things that the city will have to go through to roughly they'll establish a priority, and that will be about a possibly a 50-50 match. Of course, match can be in kind and other services, and then the Water Projects Fund, which would actually be boots on the ground for renovation of facilities, anything to help improve water, is a $12 million a year funding, and that will be available too. And they have an online application. You can go to Kansas Water Office, and they have you can go into the menu, and for the Technical Assistance Fund, there's a lady dealing with that at Katie Goff, and just katie.goff@kwo.kansas.gov, and they will establish a online application where you kind of establish a timeline, a potential conservation plan, and certainly community factors and any permits that may or may not be available. But I am excited that we finally, after a lot of years, we got some long historic funding for that bill, and now it's finally come to pass to where cities will be able to apply for it and hopefully get the grant. And obviously the first ones that apply will probably have a good chance of getting in. And again, the deadline to apply is December the 29th.
Okay, well, that's really good to know, and I know, especially with this Caney situation, well, you know, we're not going to have any real short-term fixes other than, you know what you know has been talked about already. You know, the long-term hope, it sounds like, is to be able to pipe some water in from Coffeyville, maybe, but, you know, a pipeline like that, you know, that doesn't build itself. That's going to be, you know, years down the road, and I'm sure easements and all sorts of things, but money like this can go towards a big project like that.
Well, it is, and obviously I've been in conversation with the chair of the Water Committee, Jim Minix, who actually gives out to Scott City. We feel that this may be just kind of the tip of the iceberg as far as funding. This prolonged drought across the state has really, I think, shown people that the importance of water and the need, and it's not an unlimited resource, and it certainly is economic impact on businesses and the communities, and a lot of impact there as far as financial part. So I think, quite frankly, we're going to have a strong discussion when we get into January 8th and start that process again of potentially, you know, additional funding or at least enhancements to what we've already done.
All right, very good. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And switching gears a little bit once again, I know there's been some more talk about these child care tax credits. You want to fill us in a little bit on what all this is about?
Well, child care just seems to be a monster under our bed as far as, number one, the cost of it is just really expensive for families that, you know, have young children and have both are working, which most, that's usually the general situation now. But there was a Senate Bill 164 last year was proposed, went through the Senate, I think just run out of time, that would actually establish a $2,000 tax credit. Now, this wouldn't be to the parents, but it would be to a qualified employee of a licensed child care facility. And one of the things we're just having a huge problem with a lot of disciplines is just a shortage of workers. So this would be a way to enhance and maybe solve a little bit of child care worker situations to where, you know, they could possibly, take on a number of kids. We actually passed a bill last year that would actually increase the number of kids that a individual could supervise and kind of reduce some of the outdoor play space, square footage, and that got vetoed by the governor. But hopefully that'll come back and certainly help this child care situation.
Gotcha. And kind of still on that vein of child care, there's been a statistic shared out there about some audits with some of these folks providing some of this. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, yeah, we the legislature and any legislature can request an audit and they legislative post audit of particular agencies, programs to see their effectiveness and see how they work. And there was an audit on that was concerned about background checks for employees that are working with kids, and particularly in our schools, and fingerprinting. And what this audit revealed was kind of almost scary, that 31% of the people that are currently working, and this is across the state, there's 286 school districts in the state of Kansas, and 31% of those employees had not either had a background check or any fingerprinting, which in today's world is kind of scary. So we have people moving around a lot, and people with some kind of devious backgrounds, and so I think doing a big effort to try to get those, make sure that those people that are working with our kids, the most vulnerable, have a background check and a fingerprinting.
Sure. Yeah. No. That's definitely not. Doesn't seem like a bad idea for sure. So, got a few more minutes left as we continue our conversation with Representative Doug Bleck. Sir, anything else that you would like to share with the listeners here this morning?
Well, had a lot of publicity recently on Medicaid expansion, and that will certainly be a hot button in this coming session to expand it. And there's a lot of information out there. Not a lot of it is not so much factual. You have to keep in mind that currently the state of Kansas has about almost 6,000 people on a waiting list that have intellectual or development disabilities that in order to get Medicaid. And regular Medicaid is about roughly a 60-40, 55-45 percent, where the state of Kansas, the taxpayers of the state of Kansas, pay 45% and the federal government pays 60%. And there's currently a long waiting. So there's two sides of this coin. One is we have a lot of people that need to get on Medicaid that really need it. I mean, we're talking intellectual and development disabilities that really struggle. And then by the other side of the coin, we're proposing a 90-10, which the government would pay 90% and the Kansas taxpayers would pay 10% at this point. And they're able-bodied people that's capable of, from ages 19 to 64. So it's kind of a tough decision. Do we give able-bodied people the ability to work when we have a huge workplace shortage? Do we give them free health care, or do we try to concentrate on those people that have really some severe needs and are actually on a waiting list? And horror stories, sometimes they're on waiting lists for 2 or 3 years before they can actually get into that program and get help. So it'll be contentious. And there will certainly be a divided camp. The press touts a lot of things about this. That's the cause of hospital closures and stuff, and that's not totally true. And I guess from my perspective, I lean toward the fact if you're able-bodied and able to work, you know, get out there and work. And I know health care insurance, it's expensive for all of us, but I would rather take care of those people that are really in true need first, get them taken care of before we consider a Medicaid expansion.
Sure, and you know, there definitely is still that labor crunch and many workforce, you know, various businesses looking for some help, and many of them do offer health care and that sort of thing. So
it's affecting us all. I just got an email, and probably you did too. KDOT's already warning people that we're 25% shortage in snowplow operators, that the roads may not be able to be clear this year. So I guess if anybody likes cold weather and wants to operate a snowplow, you know, there's a good chance for a good job. There are a lot of openings out there.
I know there are people out there who are listening who you know, they can't wait to strap that plow on the front of their pickup. So, you know, you could get paid to do it.
Yeah, they can strap it on and actually get paid for it with some benefits. So.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Hey, that's a
deal.
Very
important. Nobody likes bad roads.
That's
so
right.
We want our roads cleared.
That's a very important job as we get into the winter. I know they were working on some training here just a couple weeks ago at, you know, some of their sites that they have out there. So, well, Representative Doug Bleck, if folks have questions for you, they need to get a hold of you. What's the best way to do that?
Well, I can do the cell phone 620-212-4183, or they can catch my email, doug.blex at kansashouse.org. So feel free to get a hold of me.
All right, sir. Well, we do appreciate you stopping by the program here this morning. Hope you have a great month of November, and we'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun week here coming up with all the Veterans Day parade.
Oh, so, yeah. That's for sure.
We enjoy that.
Okay, you know, yeah, we'll probably see you around at the parades, too.
I will be there.
Okay, you
have a good one.
All right,
God bless you.
You take care, sir. That is Representative Doug Blex here on the Mighty 690, and we have more straight ahead, including a check of the news on the way on KGGF.